Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to A Conversation with Josh Yoder.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. So tonight, it's real exciting because we've got Josh Yoder on, who is the founder of U.S. Freedom Flyers. And if you've been paying attention, he's been pretty heavy in the news. He's one of the forces behind the scenes that have helped awaken the aviation professionals to the threat that's being imposed upon them and all of us with this tyranny of mask mandates and injection mandates, essentially medical tyranny that they're using to control the world. And he has a lot to say, and it's a very interesting conversation I think you'll enjoy. We are really at a point right now where people are starting to get very frustrated. They're starting to talk tremors of you know, taking up arms, and we are at a difficult point in this fight. Let's put it that way. And the other thing I keep hearing over and over is, you know, we have no resources to fight. We have no money to fight. These are lame excuses. Sorry, but they are. And if that offends you, then sorry, I don't have to make any excuses for it. This fight is based on a trust in God. And when I talk to Josh Yoder, the reason this has so much interest to me is that he's organized this entire thing without any money. And where this comes down to is, even though they have a legal fight going on, he is understanding very well. We had a long conversation after the interview today of just what trust in God really looks like. We are limiting ourselves if we keep falling to the financial traps of believing that money is going to solve the problem. Money is not the problem, is not going to solve the problem. Money itself is the problem. And the problem is right there is that people keep waiting and looking for money. You have this thing like people hanging out their hands going, well, when's the Nacera thing going to start? I hope it doesn't, to be very honest with you, because people aren't ready for that level of responsibility. It'll just corrupt everything. And when you find patriots like Josh, who has it in his heart to just fight and organize, we have to learn from this to realize that it doesn't take money. It takes commitment. It takes trust in God, and it takes organization of well-defined action. And that's the whole principle of a great counterinsurgency. I'm just constantly stunned at just all the walls that I keep hearing people put before themselves. Money, 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 money. And I'm losing patience with it, with those. I mean, maybe I should have a greater level of patience. I don't. We have overcome unbelievable obstacles in the last 5 years. I go to Bard's Fest with the impossible accomplishment that happened because we trusted in God and God brought us together. And there's a big lesson there. So tonight, I think you'll enjoy this interview. This is a huge interview of a person who has a great heart. He's a former Army medic and combat flight medic, in fact, and then later was a bush pilot in Africa, and then later on got hired by one of the big U.S. airlines. And that's from there, he's organized a global network of people that are awake to this tyranny and people who are making their own decisions in this sort of self-organizing communities of deciding that they have to draw a line. And that's ultimately what we're witnessing. And we're going to see, hopefully, a lot more of it. So before we jump into tonight's show, let's acknowledge, first of all, Expedition Coffee, Expedition Coffee, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com. It is a coffee designed for your health, an amazing product. It helps boost your serotonin, your mental focus, while helping heal and seal your gut. It was designed by Dr. Eric Napudi in the lab that he works with, and to help create a product that will keep us alert and healthy. And with that is a triad of other products, three other products that help seal and heal your gut, which is such a critical part of this current bio warfare that we're in. As you've heard his interview recently, he talked about the importance of health, gut health, and how through the poor gut health is how a lot of this bioweapon is taking root in our body, causing an increase in dopamine rather than serotonin, causing brain fog, a whole variety of things. So these products are all available at expeditioncoffee.com, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com. A great series of products. I've been taking them for the last 2.5-3 months. I can't praise them enough. They are a super product that keeps your body healthy and keeps your mind focused every day. So I'd encourage you to check that out. So go to Expedition, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com, or go to bardsfm.com/coffee. You can see the Expedition Coffee logo on the front page, and you can follow the links from there. Also, MyPillow, which is the company led by one of our great patriots and Christ followers and CEOs of our time, Mike Lindell, who is literally single-handedly funding so many of these election audits around the country. He is relentless. I just read the other day he sold one of his planes to engage a lawsuit, which is just amazing. Mike gives and gives and gives, and he gives in so many ways. So obviously they've tried to crush his business. They haven't succeeded. And so, like I've said to you many times, my support for MyPillow products is not just that they are great products, and they are, but it's also a company that every time you spend a dollar, every dollar you spend with MyPillow is in some portion, there's a portion of that that goes to Liberty Fight, and it goes there all the time. So head on over to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. It's a whole series of great savings on there. The 60-piece towel set's on sale. The My Slippers are on sale. I love the fact that he's pushing the Bible Story pillowcases for children. I think that's so important. We have to do more for our children. And it's just a great company to support, great products, and a great place to buy Christmas presents, since we keep hearing that the supply chains are broken and they're going to continue to collapse, which I think is the case. So MyPillow.com, promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. That's B-A-R-D-S. You can also talk to a live operator there, and that's 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. That's a Patriot Sleep Counselor you'll get hold of right there. They'll ask for your promo code, BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and they'll guide you into the perfect products to make you sleep nicely forever. Hopefully not forever, but at least for the night. And then you'll be up, and you'll be able to sleep for the rest of your life nicely. How's that? A little bit better. So again, MyPillow.com, BARDS promo code B-A-R-D-S. Okay, Patriots. So tonight, a great Patriot that we're going to talk to, Josh Yoder. He's put a lot on the line for this. He's leading a fight that is a very difficult one. He's dealt with a lot of pressure, and obviously he's dealing with some pretty vicious people. And he's organizing and has helped awaken so many people across this world. Literally, it's a global movement to stand up. His group, which is U.S. Freedom Flyers, is not limited to just flight professionals, but it has made a significant impact so far in the fact that it has demonstrated the power of the individual. And I can't stress that enough. And that's one of those reasons that I can't stand this barrier people keep putting in front of them about money. Yes, you need money to pay bills, and yes, we need money to move forward. I get that. And yes, there is always some expense related to things. But the whole principle about the way we fight is putting our trust, building a plan that God has blessed, and we do that through prayer and the right action of listening to our heart, and then putting our blessings with God and moving forward. And it's there. And we have to have some trust in this, because if every single time we bump into the idea that we don't have money, we have no opportunity in this fight. Let's be clear. When you are dealing with an enemy that controls, and it's not just the left, this is the globalists, when you're dealing with an enemy that controls the financial system, can print as much as they want, has gamed it all the way around, and people are waiting for some blessing of money. It's the wrong approach. Our first and foremost fight in this is to have trust in God. And I'm good with that. I mean, I've said many times, Christ did not need a bank account. What he needed was to convey the message that God gave him to do, his Father. And we need to have that much commitment and blessing in our life and that much trust. So this is an amazing conversation because this is a group that isn't anchored in money, though they are always will take donations like everybody else, but they're anchored in the belief of what is right, which is the fight for liberty. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Josh Yoder. Patriots, I really am honored today to have what is becoming one of the strongest voices in the pushback against the vax mandates, and that's Josh Yoder. You've probably seen him recently on Tucker Carlson, and I know he's been on the web, and I'm really honored to have him here this week on the show. Just a little background, because Josh was an Army combat medic and literally spent more than 12 years in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other conflict zones, both as a medic and as a defense contractor. So he's really been around the world. In 2012, he earned his commercial pilot's license, and that enabled him to fulfill his lifelong dream of flying. And so he flew as a bush pilot in parts of the African continent. And then later, after he returned to the United States, he was hired as a first officer for one of the major airlines. Now, Josh just is like every great veteran, understands his oath and understands where ultimately our commitment is, which is defense of the people, enemies foreign and domestic. And so when the mandatory vaccinations came into the airline industry, Josh knew that he could organize his coworkers and counterparts to stand up against the tyranny. And what started as in one airline, it has now turned into an international organization that boasts tens of thousands of members. And as he says, it's only just begun. So, Josh, welcome to the show. Why don't you give us a little background on yourself?
Scott, yeah, thanks for having me. This is a real honor. Truly a huge fan of yours and appreciate the work that you're doing. Yeah, like you said, I was in the military. I'm also a defense contractor, a bush pilot in Africa. That was a huge highlight of my life. And I've always been really devoted to helping people who don't have a voice. That was something I got involved with, especially in Africa. Got to spend some time with the people running an organization called Invisible Children, where they were rescuing child soldiers. It was a truly impactful time in my life and something that that I often look to, you know, in this fight that we're in today. I almost feel like I'm back there, you know, and we just have another mission. But there are thousands, actually millions of people who need to be saved.
Well, this is a true statement. And I think that right now it's, you know, just this morning, for example, the headlines hit on Gateway Pundit that a young boy who was in perfect health that took the injection, after the second injection, he just died while homeschooling by his distance learning. So it's really, the impact here is very real. We're under I think it's hard for people to wrap their head around the fact that we're in a real fight. But you stood up something called U.S. Freedom Flyers. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and how all that got started?
Sure. Yeah. U.S. Freedom Flyers is a grassroots freedom-based movement. It was started by airline pilots. I have co-founders in the movement. And we essentially saw a need at the airlines when these mandates started being put in place. There are many of us who do not consent to what's going on. And we decided to stand up and say no. And we're doing so very effectively. I have never seen the airlines come together in unity the way they are coming together under U.S. Freedom Flyers. The impact that we're going to have on the industry, and I believe on the greater freedom movement worldwide, is going to be massive.
So this movement is not, or is it just limited to just the transportation professionals?
Absolutely not. Yeah, that's actually how it started. It started as a means of saving our jobs. What we quickly realized was that this fight is far greater than saving our jobs. And we also realized that we needed to engage the passengers. That's where the real power lies. Essentially, you know, airline pilots and crew and employees, we are essentially liabilities to the company. The passengers are the company's assets. They're the ones who spend money. So where the real power comes from is by activating the passengers and having them stand with us. What we're seeing right now, as airline crew members, we are the canary in the coal mine. What they're doing to us right now, they are planning to do to the passengers as well. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with HR 4980. If you're not familiar with that, it's critical that you look it up. They are planning to lock down the unvaccinated portion of this country, and they're planning to do it before December, to where you can neither arrive nor depart a U.S. airport if you're unvaccinated. So this is why we need the passengers to get involved. We need everyone. We need to have millions of people. We need to stand up, and we need to say no.
So it's really interesting in your movement, because this is one of the challenges that has been is there's an ideological fight going on between the unvaxxed and the vaxxed. And as we are all trying to fight this, we're also finding that many people who have taken the injection are starting to realize what this is about, whether it's because of liberty or whether this is about health. There is a merger happening here, which I think is very positive, of us coming together to realize that this is much bigger than just the injection. This is about tyranny versus liberty. What are your thoughts on that?
That's correct. That is what this war is. This is a freedom movement. I mean, I think as Americans, we're all hyper aware of how critical our freedom is to us. This is not a movement to divide. It's a movement of unity. We're bringing everyone together to stand up to tyranny. And it just so happens that the mandates are the current issue at hand. Once we beat this issue, we're just going to move on to the next. We are not going to be stopped, and we will always fight for freedom.
So that's a real interesting statement, because so many times we have a movement to say we'll focus on a lawsuit, for example, or it will on one action. But you're building a plan that goes beyond that. So let's start, first of all, with how you're dealing with these mandates.
Well, the most powerful thing that we're doing is just standing up and saying no. That's the most powerful thing that anyone can do. And everyone is very important in this fight. I can't stress that enough. Winning starts with the individual. And you all have a very powerful voice, whether you realize it or not. And when we unite as American people and we stand up and say, no, we do not consent, we will not comply, there's nothing that they can do to us. We have a lot of strength in our unity. That's all we have to do. If we stand together, this could potentially, you know, never even have to be fought in a court of law if we all unite and just stand together.
I think that's the big piece. And I talk about this a lot, is literally we have to break this current structure. I'm not one that believes it can be repaired. I think we literally need to bring it to its knees and rupture it and then rebuild. I know that may seem as an extreme to some, but I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. With that being said, I'm not, you know, my goal is not to destroy the companies that we work for. My goal is to extend a helping hand to the people who are hurting because of these mandates. And my true hope is that we can, you know, speak and have dialogue with both our unions and our companies and come to an agreement and help them understand why our freedom is so important. You know, it's us today, but it could potentially be an issue that affects them tomorrow. So, and that's the issue, or that's the goal of our movement, is to unite and to essentially educate and to bring people on board in unity for freedom.
One of the things that's interesting about the approach you're taking is you're actually suing the federal government. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, that is correct. From the beginning, I had the idea that If there's a federal mandate, it's going to make it very easy for the companies to hide behind the federal mandate and say, hey, it's not us that's doing it, but it's the federal government. So essentially, if we can prove how illegal the federal mandates are, which we know they are, there's actually a lot of debate as to whether or not they even exist. Once we can beat it at that level, now we have recourse at the company level, because the company then cannot hide behind the federal mandate, and they will have to take responsibility for the actions that they are making on their own.
This has got to take a lot of resources too, because taking on the federal government, where they have an unlimited ability to print money and use taxpayer dollars, are you doing a fundraising push here, or how is this happening?
We're actually working with Health Freedom Defense Fund. They are helping us fundraise, and that will be to fund George Wentz and the Dabbler Law Group. He is a very high-powered attorney out of Idaho. And yes, our members are chipping in. The people that are in our organization, everyone's chipping in. We have large donors, outside donors as well, that are now interested in getting involved. So yeah, this is a grassroots movement. If you can donate, we would appreciate it. But more importantly, we want people to come to the website and sign up. If you sign up on the website, we will then give you tools on how you can get involved in this movement. We can all make a difference. And we will be doing, we'll be partnering with various entities all across the country, and we'll be doing events, we'll be supporting events, and getting the message out there and really driving an education campaign to help people understand why this movement is so important.
So a little sidebar on this, because one of the things that we're also witnessing is an unbelievable tyranny in the military. I mean, obviously, you and I share a love for the Army, and yet we're seeing people, like we learned yesterday, that the Marine Corps is now enacted an approach of using a general courts-martial against anybody that is not taking the injection.
Well, my heart goes out to those people, and I would tell them to stand strong and stand together. That's how we're going to win this thing. If we stand up in unity and we say no, their game is over.
I agree. I mean, I think that's one of the hardest parts for people to get their head around, is the strength that we have together. And this is something I spoke of last night, which was the idea that as we start to see the numbers rise of people standing up against the tyranny, we're seeing an exodus from this current economy. And within our hands, we have the ability to reshape a direction we want to go without fear of what reprisals they can have of jobs and all these other things that they're trying to hold over people's heads. I know that you're not trying to break the these companies, but this seems like a natural progression, because once we've stepped out, there's really no trust left with where you were.
Yeah, that's correct. Essentially what's happened with these companies and the unions that we're involved with, they have broken the social contract that they have with their employees. That element of trust is gone, and it needs to be rebuilt. If it can't be rebuilt, I also very much support this movement of building parallel economies. I know that you're working on that. I've spoken to several people who are also very influential in that movement. And I think that is also a good alternative, you know, should people choose to go that route. That is one of my goals, is to also offer other employment solutions. We have been working with people all across this nation. I know that you and I have had this conversation, and I think that would be a good alternative. I want to be able to offer people hope and let them know that there are alternatives outside of their current employment that can actually be as good or better.
So if someone is fired for not consenting to this injection, bioweapon, vax, whatever you, I mean, I don't, it's by definition not even a vaccine, because it has a technology in it. What is it going to do to the industry? And how about this travel just before Christmas?
It's going to be a disaster. Right now we're looking at numbers anywhere between 20 and 40% across work groups at many of these airlines. If these people stand up and stand together and the companies actually fire them, it is going to bring the industry to its knees. And what a lot of people aren't looking at is this is not just going to affect air travel. This is fully going to affect the entire transportation sector and the economy. It's a ripple effect. If you have airlines that reduce their service by, let's say, 20%, 20 or 30%, it's going to affect, you know, how your packages get to you. It's going to affect the medical system. We don't just transport people. We transport U.S. mail, organs, blood donations for hospitals, food, all different types of things. And it's going to be an absolute economic disaster if this happens.
One of the things that's amazing about these CEOs and these boards, and it all goes back to Wall Street. In fact, there was an interesting article a while back from a Wall Street insider that was saying very much the same thing that we're all saying, which is stand strong. Because for whatever reason, I think we can come together. It's the money behind this injection that they're able to rape out of the economy. They have stood together to an agreement that they're going to force these mandates. And this gives them sort of this, they're all in, thinking they can intimidate the public. And so you end up with this blind self-destruction. It almost seems it's like watching suicide, because they're pushing on these agendas, which are openly failing. They don't want to acknowledge them publicly. And yet they're willing almost to take these their own companies right to the ground. How are you seeing that, and are you running into that?
Yes, I actually just had someone reach out to me a few days ago, and I have not verified this information independently, but what I was told was that the CEO of, I believe it's Allegiant Airlines, actually has ownership in a COVID pass system. So I don't know, like I said, I haven't done my own research on this, and I plan to do that here very soon, to find out what the financial interests are of the CEOs and the people in management in this whole push for the vaccine. I think researching the board members of these companies will be very telling to seeing who else they're involved with and just following the money.
I think that is the key. I have no doubt about that. I mean, it's interesting. Just I guess even just today, Boeing is now says it's 125,000 workers have to be injected, the workers in the United States, by December 8th. So they're heating up this pressure. And this goes back to the forced compliance, but it also, when we look at the back end of the investor side, I mean, we're talking tens of billions of dollars in these injections of guaranteed money at the taxpayer's expense. So I would be surprised if we didn't see a trickle down into other benefits for the corporate interests. And I think ultimately we're tying into something much bigger than just our limits of our own national borders.
Yes, I agree. And something that's very interesting that I've just come across lately is many of these companies, you know, have, you know, they're U.S. based, but they also have international workforces, and they are not mandating the vaccine for our international partners. And that's very interesting to me. It seems to be a push, you know, within the United States. The companies are telling it that they're doing it for our safety and the safety of the flying public. But if that's the case, then why is the mandate also, why are they not mandating it for the foreign employees as well? It's very suspect.
Well, it's highly suspect. And I think it's, you know, this kind of goes back to this, what some people still see as a conspiratorial, but I, you know, conspiracy is just, it's a conspiracy until it's proven true, unfortunately. And pretty much the time we're living in is like watching these conspiracies come true. The idea a year ago, even 3 months ago, that people would be unable to fly because of flight cancellations, not because of limitations based on an injection or of a COVID pass or whatever, none of that was imaginable by people. And yet you're witnessing it happening. And this is almost like a forced red pill on the public. And I don't know if that's what you intended, but I think the effect is profound, because you're looking at a place where people are having to force and be forced to ask the question, why are people standing up against this when they have been so deeply brainwashed and told that this is the pathway forward, to get the injection is your pathway forward to getting back to normal?
Well, you know, we're freedom loving people, and this coercion that's going on is you're right, it really is red pilling people. They never imagined, you know, throughout their lifetime that they would see this level of domination and coercion and like loss of freedom. And it's happening so rapidly. Even people that were middle of the road or maybe not paying attention are suddenly now being forced to pay attention, because it's happening to them. It's happening to their family, their friends, their neighbors. And suddenly people that were never engaged in the political arena or really paying attention to what's happening in their country are forced into participation, you know, whether they like it or not.
From kind of an insider point of view, how do you see this, what they're calling a sick out, that's happening, that's been shutting down Southwest Airlines and has been openly spreading to other airlines. It hasn't been as severe this week as it was last weekend, but that doesn't seem to be something that's just going to go away.
I don't really have any insider information as to what happened at Southwest. What I can tell you is that airline crews right now are under a tremendous amount of stress. You know, just imagine, you know, working, you worked for 10 or 15 years just to make it to a major airline, than to basically be stripped of your identity, being told, you know, if you don't take this vaccine, we are going to destroy your career. It's not just a job to us. It's a way of life. You know, it's something that we really love. And it takes many years to get to the positions that we're in. And I think it's going to have a really traumatic impact. I mean, just from the mental health calls that I get, which is really unfortunate. The companies have programs, you know, for mental health, but what I'm hearing from employees who call me is that they no longer trust the companies and they don't trust the unions because they haven't stood up for us. So they're calling someone who they know is fighting for them. And because of that, I've gone to some friends and we've set up, you know, mental health professionals that are volunteering that can help these people. And it's truly sad. I think the results are going to be devastating. You know, just I know that the pressure is really affecting us all. And I hope that the companies can realize this and that they can offer a hand and that they can repair this social contract that they've broken with us.
You know, what's real interesting about what you're describing just then is that the unions failed them is what, when we look at the origins of what happened in the protests in Australia with the construction workers, they went to the union leaders' headquarters, and the union leader openly told them that he wasn't going to back them. And the trigger from that was a cascade that we're now seeing, where they said, "Okay, fine, then we're going to break from the union. Essentially, we're going to do our own protest." And of course, the response of the government was, "Then we're going to punish you and shut down work for, I think it was 10 days," and that backfired. The issue that we're dealing here ultimately is people are waking up to the deeper part of this agenda. And obviously, I'm very opinionated on the injection and what its ultimate agenda is. But in a bigger piece that I think everybody can relate to is the idea that this is literally the death of liberty if we don't stand up. And as a consequence, that's putting people at odds with a lot of the institutions they thought were there to protect them. How are you working with that in your own organization? Because one way or another, you're going to be at odds, whether it's with the union, with airlines, with other services, like you're saying, and that's pretty much a breakaway event. That's a divorce you're talking about.
That's correct. And something that we have to be very careful about as union members is that we don't promote work actions or sick outs. They are highly illegal. And that is something that we would never promote at US Freedom Flyers. We're never going to promote illegal actions. What I will say is that I think it's important, once again, that we come together in unity and realize that we are our unions, we are our companies, and we need to make our voice heard. And I believe that through doing that and through standing up and just saying no, I believe that we can change the way that these organizations view us. And I believe that our representation at those levels, I believe they will be willing to listen once they see that we are unified. And I think that it's possible we could potentially win them over to our side. My goal is not to attack them. My goal is to help educate them and to bring them into the freedom movement and help them understand that we are all important and we need to stand together united. And I think through doing that, you know, we'll be a much stronger organization.
Well, I would argue, and I don't know if this is true, but it seems that the airline industry is probably the most subject of this forced injection mandate because it is so controlled by the federal government. And the concern for that, the people, in my opinion, need to be aware of is, as a highly regulated and controlled and subsidized industry, this is what the government can do if they accomplish their goal of nationalizing and socializing business across America. Is there some truth to that, you think?
There's tons of truth to that. So what you see happening right now is you have a federal mandate And then you have these airlines who are federal contractors, which they, it's the CRAF program, at least that's one of the contracts. So what you're seeing is the companies being forced into compliance. They're essentially working as a state actor in the enforcement of these vaccine mandates. That's why we have to beat this at a federal level. If we just go against the companies, if we sue the companies, we're not ultimately winning the war, because they're always going to reference back to the federal mandate. So once we strip the federal government of its power to mandate these vaccines, then the companies will have to admit that the choices that they're making are their choices alone and not because of government coercion.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because when you look at the OSHA requirement that this current hand puppet of China administration, known as the Biden administration, is doing, what, there is no mandate. There is. I looked at this right from the beginning. OSHA has no authority to mandate an injection, and there is no federal mandate. It's just a, it was an action that basically he said, and I'm not even sure he pencil whipped an executive order on it. That's questionable. But it is interesting, because what you're saying is we literally are watching a corporate tyranny mandating a basically a lip service of what a certain insurgent element wants in the government, and they're walking lockstep with this. So there must be some foundations for this in your lawsuit as well.
Correct. And this is something I can't speak to at the moment. Obviously, as it becomes more public, more information will be put out about our approach. But I do think that the approach that we have is going to be a very effective one. And we're working with quite a large team of attorneys who is putting together the arguments that I believe are going to be highly effective.
You all represent a very well-trained and very professional group. And it's interesting when you hear the callousness and perhaps arrogance of the leadership in the transportation industry, acting as if it's no big deal. It's just we have an employee shortage. I think when people really wrap their head around that, let's just use that as an example that they do have an employee shortage in one way or another, whether people are sick, whether people are stepping out of the industry, whatever that is, that's not something that you can repair just by opening up a job opening. Would you agree?
I completely agree. It takes many years to train an airline pilot. I mean, you're looking just your basic education, you're looking at probably 4 years, and then you need to go through a period of building flight time just to be hired at a regional airline, just as an entry-level position. Most pilots typically spend anywhere between, 5 to 10 years at a regional airline before they're then picked up by a major airline. So yeah, to get to the position of a major airline pilot, you're often looking at, 15 years. It's not unreasonable. So if they get rid of these highly qualified pilots, it's not just as easy as hiring out of the regionals. I mean, they can do that. They can certainly hire out of the regionals, but they're going to essentially deplete the regional level, and there's going to be a massive breakdown in the transportation industry, because who's going to replace those people?
That's a great point. Now, one of the comments that has come up in criticism to your group and others in the transportation as a whole, not just your group, so it's kind of covering the whole scope, is that this is very unjust, because it's hurting those that live paycheck to paycheck. My personal opinion is that comment doesn't apply to flying, but nonetheless, the consequences of a shutdown does have effects across the entire nation. Now, I'm opinionated on this, but I'm going to let you take the first shot at this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are plenty of people who live paycheck to paycheck. I'm aware of a specific case in Texas where there's a gate agent for one of these airlines who drives 2 hours each way to and from work. And she's doing this because she has a family member who is very sick and she needs the health insurance. And they are living paycheck to paycheck. It is absolutely going to destroy her life. She's been being given an ultimatum. Either you take a vaccine that you don't agree with, that you don't consent to, or else your family member is going to die. So she's being put in a very difficult position. And that's just one story that I know of, someone that reached out to me. There are many more like that. I mean, it's heartbreaking. The hundreds of emails and phone calls that I receive every day, they just pour in. And my heart really hurts for these people. It's going to be catastrophic if they go through with this.
the benefit of what's happening and bringing over some of those that are have taken that walk with the injection that are now standing up is that there's an empathy across both sides. But let me just read you something here. It's pretty fantastic, and this is the mentality we're dealing with. And unfortunately, this mentality that I'm going to read here is where the divide sits. So it's a sign that says masks required. If you are standing either inside or on the patio, please wear a mask. Once seated, drinking, or eating, we do not require you to wear a mask. Now listen to this subtext. If you cannot wear a mask due to a medical condition, ask yourself if you should be going out to a bar or restaurant during a pandemic. If you are making up a medical condition to avoid wearing a mask, please don't. None of us have any patience to deal with your crap. That's literally the sign. Now, this is the mentality, unfortunately, that so many on the injected side have, that they have bought into this whole narrative, lock, stock, and barrel, very much as we did in 9/11, where we watched the Patriot Act get run down our throats, and we literally watched our Constitution be eviscerated. And here we are again in this location where the willingness of people to sacrifice everything and the trust in the institutions to protect them is phenomenal to me. So kind of back to where we started, I'm going to have you kind of add to this from the previous question is, I mean, my opinion is very clear. Everyone needs to deal with the pain and the deal with the reality that liberty is not free, that we have a right to choose, and how your choices are. We can get into that. That sometimes, you know, if you want to put a gun barrel in your mouth, then go ahead. But the end of the day is we have a right to choose, but it does not have to be universal. And in addition to this, just the mentality of the idea that one person is going to be a threat to the many, that has settled in very deeply. And yet what your organization is doing is trying to, and I see it, the effect of it, I don't know if it's intentional, but the effect of it is trying to neutralize that by showing a bigger topic that you're fighting for.
That's correct. Yeah, that, you know, the issue at hand here is freedom. And I think that's something that can really resonate with the entire world. You know, these people who are putting up signs like that, what they're not understanding is that the totalitarian position that they're taking today could be turned on them tomorrow on a different issue. And I think helping people to understand the importance of freedom for all of us, you know, informed consent, you know, freedom of choice. This is where the education comes in. And I think it's critical that we handle these situations with grace, and that we do reach across the aisle and try to help these people understand, you know, that what affects us today could affect them tomorrow. And we need to come together as individuals and as groups and as companies and stand up for each other. And when we do that, we're going to be very powerful in changing the world.
I agree. I think that's the one thing that they have done. One of the core strategies of keeping people divided is, and again, one of those core strategies of forcing separation, lockdowns, not allowing people to get together unless you're all of the same. So like a vax ID or something like that. All of that is intentional to try to create a sort of hive mind and keep the dissenters, if you will, away from those that are complying, so there's no crosstalk and awakening that happens there. So it's an interesting place.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, what we're seeing happen today is exactly what happened in 1930s Germany. You know, they identified a certain group of people. You know, then you know, one group had more rights than the other, and they slowly divided the groups. You know, until it ultimately ended up in the gas chambers. And I hope that's not where we're going, but it's eerily similar. And I'm going to do everything in my power to stop this. We need to bring people together. We need to stand together, and we need to fight tyranny. And that's something that I am fully committed to. U.S. Freedom Flyers is fully committed to that. And I can't tell you how amazing it is to have tens of thousands of people that are rallying together for the same goal. It's just, this is a popular message, and it is growing by tens of thousands.
Well, that's fantastic. I think one thing that you and I share, having spent time in conflict zones, is you see the results of different forms of tyranny, whether it's warlords, whether it's broken governments, and or whether it's the chaos that ensues after a collapse of a government, and how there are many people that get victimized. There is a quote that was put in the Q forum early on that said that in the end, the military is the only way. And I think there was a lot of assumption that that would be some sort of uniformed effort, organized military effort. I find it interesting when we apply that quote to the types of awakening that are happening right now from the soldiers that are stepping out of the military at any cost to the veterans that are leading efforts across this nation to awaken people and centering and helping people realize what the true sense of sacrifice is for liberty. There's a context of awareness with that group having witnessed tyranny abroad, and I think it's easier for them to see the tyranny here in terms of enemies foreign and domestic.
Absolutely. And what I would tell people is this: no one is coming to save you. It's up to us to save ourselves. We are the solution. That's what we're seeing happening. People are realizing that no one is going to come and save us from our plight. We have to unite as people. We have to stand together, and we have to work for the common good to ultimately defeat tyranny. And that's something that we can do. All it requires is one person standing up. When people see one person stand up, you know, it gives them strength. So my encouragement to your listeners would be this: you know, every day, like even in the small things that you do, you know, stand up for what's right, stand up for freedom, be very vocal about it, because you never know who it is that you're going to influence, and you are going to influence people. And this is how movements get started. And U.S. Freedom Flyers is evident of that.
How can people support you and join you?
They can go to usfreedomflyers.org and click on the link that says join the fight. There will be a form that you fill out. You'll give us your information, your telephone number, email address, you know, if you're interested in volunteering. And we will then send you communication. We try not to overload your email boxes. But we do send out action items, you know, as things come up, if there's an event planned, you know, and we're aligning with many different people in the freedom movement. You know, they're not necessarily U.S. Freedom Flyers events, but we have people there, and we're working on engaging the public and bringing everyone together, and, you know, towards the common goal. And that would be a massive help to us if you can donate to the legal case. That would be very helpful. I try not to stress it too much. Like, I understand that these are hard times for people, and you don't have to give money to sign up, but we do want your participation. I care about your action far more than I care about your money. If you can assist us financially, that's going to be a huge help as well. And just understand that the fight that we're fighting is one that you're going to have to fight if we were to lose. So we cannot lose this fight. If we win, when we win as airline employees, you are going to win as a passenger. What they are doing to us today, they have plans to do to you tomorrow. Look up HR 4980.
Last question, and then we'll close with a prayer. As you're going forward here, you said it was said in the beginning, and we talked about it, that this is a global movement that you've integrated. Where do you see this going, and how big do you see this potentially being?
I can tell you that it's already going worldwide. We have members from Australia, Asia, Europe, all across the world. It's incredible how quickly it's growing. You know, especially with like the Qantas crews over in Australia. I'm sure there was a video that went viral recently of a captain over there who took a stand. He's reached out to us. So we're all in collaboration. And citizens, you know, are joining because they are understanding the message that what's happening to us is going to happen to them, and they are helping us stop it so that they don't have to face the same tyranny here in just a few months.
You know, that's something we definitely, I think, people need to wake up to, is it's on our doorstep and it's moving fast. Well, Josh, it's a pleasure having you on today. We always close with a prayer, and if it's okay with you, I'll do a prayer.
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time, once again, to bringing together an assembly of thoughts and perspectives of yet the continuing fight for truth, freedom, and the love of you and all that we do. Lord, this is a challenging time when we're having to build bridges in places we really never thought we would have to. And as we're facing radical division and we ask for the blessings of the efforts that Josh is doing to try to help build those bridges and build a broader base of unity to stand up for the liberties that you gave us, the liberties that were God-given, and to help move the public to an awareness of the threat that we face as a tyranny comes knocking at our door. Lord, we are blessed with this time that we live, and we are blessed with the opportunity to see clearly as you do. We ask for the continued blessing of all that Josh does, the protection of his group, his family, and he himself, to lead his effort to such a way that to awaken the many across the globe. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Josh, really want to thank you for coming on. I'd like to get you on as things progress and get you on again as things progress, because I know you're going to have a lot of developments. I know right now some of this is difficult to get into the details because of the situation or the positions you hold, but that door is open, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. Yeah, I would love that. And I would just like to ask your listeners to please pray for us. It makes a huge difference. This movement has really gained traction. And I think it's due in a large part to the people who have been praying for us. There's actually a prayer group that has been set up. There are thousands of people across the world that are praying for this specific movement. And that's an incredibly powerful thing.
Yes, it is. And we've witnessed that on many levels. We witnessed that at Bard's Fest and many other places. So indeed, that's an encouragement that needs to be continued to pray for all that you're doing. So Josh, have a very blessed day. I want to thank you for the time you've given and all the efforts you're doing, and look forward to chatting again soon.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. I truly appreciate it.
And God bless. Well, Patriots, that was Josh Yoder of U.S. Freedom Flyers. I think he has a good message. And I also want to just make a comment here that I think is very important, and it's this. Right now, there's a lot of people getting a lot of attention regarding the vax mandate. And when you dig into it, it's not about vaxxed or unvaxxed. It's about choice. Now, my position is there's never been a choice, unless you consider suicide a choice, and in which case, then I guess there's a choice always. And people are very apprehensive to try to say that they're against, like, you can't have the vax, because they want to believe that there's, that people have a right to make a choice. And a lot of these, this movement included, U.S. Freedom Flyers has taken that position, which I'm not condemning them for it by any way, but it's something I want you to really reflect on, because it, when you're dealing with soldiers, first of all, that are giving up everything not to take the injection, and there is a whole mass of people that have led to this point. Many of you are part of that have held the line from the very beginning. And so I want to take a special moment here and thank you, as I am thanking those like our soldiers as well, that have held the line from the beginning and have understood the threat that we're facing. I'm not taking anything away from Freedom Flyers. I'm glad they're finally making actions like this. But I also want everyone that's in that movement, Freedom Flyers, to consider something. Would you have taken this action had your job not been under threat? There are many Americans out here that took this action, stood for anti-vax, stood up for what was right without having threat of job. They did it on the principle of liberty. And so we are in a difficult time of healing, and right now we're trying to stop the medical tyranny, but the deeper issue is we're going to have to get down to individual accountability. You hear me talk about that a lot. I have a lot of empathy for those that have been stuck in that crossroads where they need the benefits of a job just because of health issues and or because of their financial situation, and they don't really have options. They're victims. There's a lot of people that just kind of stood quietly, though, on the sidelines while we were banging the horns and banging on the walls and drums going, hey, this is a tyranny coming. I'm glad to see the many wake up, but I don't ever want to forget how long it's taken. There's many that have been fighting this vax fight for 20 years and have suffered through the devastation of injections of what they call vaccines, as their children have suffered autism and other horrible disabilities. And they've not been heard. They've been crushed And they've been crushed by many of the same people today that are now standing up going, wait a minute, this isn't right. We can't have a vax mandate. We as a people have to move past that hypocrisy. And it's time, and it's well time, to start listening, okay? We're listening closely to what U.S. Freedom Flyers are doing. I support what they're doing. I am encouraged that they're able to strike a blow at the corporate monster and corporate beast with their dedication to the principles of liberty. But the injection was never a choice. It's never, and it is not a choice. The only choice that you have is enslavement and death or liberty. That's your choice, and it's all centered on the vaccine. Those that took the injection, unfortunately, you've damaged yourself. And why that's unfortunate is we will win this, but we are going to end up having to carry that burden, all of us, because of the choices that were made. And we are here right now, right in this moment in time, because so many didn't have the strength to stand up to what was right in liberty from the beginning. They didn't believe it was going to be this bad. They didn't want to make wakes at their job. I could go on the list. But had the people had the backbone to do what's happening now, to stop flights, for nurses to literally step out and say, I'm not giving this bioweapon to people, and to do what they're doing now, for teachers to say, this isn't right. Not because they were at a threat of losing their job, but because they did what was right. This thing would have never been as along the path that it is right now. It would have been stopped dead in its tracks. So for all of you that have stood that line from the beginning, thank you. It has not been easy, and we know it's not been easy. For all of you that are now joining us, glad you're with us. We've been here the whole time, and I'm glad you're finally standing up, because we've been waiting for this as we've been fighting ourselves, many of us alone, to try to move the world to an awakening of what the real threat is. This has never been about an injection. This has been about a depopulation event funded by DARPA, the Department of Defense, NIH, in cooperation with your CCP and Wuhan labs. So understand that we've been in a war, and those that have held the line from the beginning understood that as well. So have a very blessed evening. For those of you that are fighting every day, never, ever stop. The liberty and the taking away of liberty are intricately tied to one thing, this injection. And the sad part is we really don't know the true effects of this injection in the next 3 years and what that cost is going to be on humanity. But decisions have been made for those that took it. Even if you're awake, I would only say get on your knees and start praying to God and repent, because this is far bigger and deadlier than you have any idea. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. We have an amazing time ahead, and we're going to find our unity through our faith in God, which is bigger than all of us. But we also have to find honesty in our hearts and accountability for how we've lived, and that means the actions that we take. God is with us. He also knows exactly what your heart is and who we are. But he will never forsake us. And in the end, God will win. And this type of rising up is wonderful, because it's God's children taking a stand. But each and every one of us ultimately is accountable to God for the truth, not only of what we do, but what we've done in the past. Hence, repent. Have a blessed evening, Patriots. I'll be back at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. Pacific for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty. Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.